Water you turned into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. And our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. God, you are healer. Some empower our God. Our God. And our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher.
I have this really bad habit, okay? What I do is I open the news all the time on my phone. And you know, I did that right before service. Bad news. Bad news. Bad news. I did find good news, okay? There's going to be a revival of the Choco Taco, okay? I know, unless you look like me and that's bad news, okay? But our God is greater. Greater than monkeypox, amen? Greater than inflation. I was able to talk to a saint, Brother Travis, who said, you know what? He lost his job, what, 2020, I believe? And God answered prayer over and over and over and over again. Our God is greater. Our God is awesome. Our God is a healer. Amen. Sing this song with me from your heart. Hallelujah. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Yeah. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Stand against. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? Our God is, our God is. God, you are higher than any other. God, you are awesome and power. Yes, our God, yeah, our God is, our God is, God, you are higher than any other, our God is awesome in power, our God, yes, our God, let's sing it to the Lord, yeah, our God is, God, you are higher than any other, our God is awesome in power. Worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord, church. Jamin, you left the drumstick over here. So I'll let you know. I don't know how you're doing it with just one hand, but it's amazing the things you find up here. I found a Lego toy that was missing an arm. So if you have a Lego toy, I've got the arm for it, so just pass it on. You could go ahead and be seated this evening. Welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. It's our Wednesday evening Bible study, and we're so glad that you are here. If you're a guest of ours, whether in person or online, we have a little green connection card that we'd like for you to fill out in the kiosk, and we'd like to take and make that connection with you, or you can go online to our bit.ly link, CGC Connection. You can take care of all of that online. We can connect up with you, and we'd just love to be able to meet you. Also, we have some giving options. You can give in the offering box out in the vestibule, out in the kiosk, or you can take and go online, and you can give online. You can go mobile mail through our church center app, or you can just mail it in here to the church, and we'll get it to its appropriate place. So tomorrow we have our men's Bible study series beginning. That's at 7 p.m. in the library. And Brother Jerry Simmons is our men's ministry director. And he is not presently here. He's here, but he's not in here presently. But if you need to connect for that, Brother Jerry Simmons, for you men, I want to encourage you to attend that. And then next Friday evening, we also have our all-church prayer meeting, and I want to encourage you to be here for that. I've got something I want to share with the church on next Friday evening, so I'd like for as many people, if you can make it here, I would like for you to be here. Now, today I received a phone call from Brother Jerry, and as you know, we have our Summer Fun Fest this Sunday. And it's not just our Summer Fun Fest, but it's our All Nations Sunday. And Brother Steve Rogers, he is our Foreign Missions Director for the District of Wisconsin. He is going to be our special speaker. And we watch the weather on this, and the probability or the percentage of rain on Sunday just keeps getting higher and higher and higher. Now, we've been here before, and I don't want you to just look at me and say, oh, ye of little faith. Okay, because I've been here before when I've had, oh, ye of little faith, and I'm out there in the pouring down rain trying to cook while you're in here in a nice, warm, toasty environment. Now, we start on Sundays at about 6 o'clock in the morning and go until about 6 in the evening with the cleanup. So if it rains from 6 to 9, it's not going to affect any of you, but it will affect our outside crews that are working, cooking. If it rains any time during the day, scattered, it's going to take and have an effect. Now, we've had Summer Fun Fest before where that we've had a downpour hit right at the end of service, and about 75% of you go home because you don't want to sit out in the rain or work your way through the rain, and we have 500, 600 tacos, and we have about 75 people to eat them. So we had a three-hour window today to make a decision on Sunday. So what we decided to do is we're going to have our All Nation Sunday on Sunday. Brother Ross, or not Brother Rossing, Brother Rogers is going to be here. So we will have All Nations Sunday this Sunday. There you go. All right. Then the next Sunday, which will be the 13th, I believe, 14th, there we go. Thank you. We will have our Summer Fun Fest. Okay? We can. The thing is if we commit in that three-hour window, if we postpone it, it doesn't cost us anything. Once they set the equipment up, whether we use it or not, we have to pay for it. And I just think that it just made sense. Now, you could say, well, you know, it's Friday and it's Wednesday now. Well, I remember on Monday they were talking about rain today. Did we get rain today? Yeah, we got lots of rain. So that's what we've got to go on. So we make a decision based upon the information we have today. And we had to make the decision in that time frame because it's only fair to our vendors that are going to help supply all the materials for this that we give them a plenty of leeway as well. Everyone understand that? So you can go on your Facebook, and it just gets pushed out just one week. And we are excited. We're going to have a great summer fun fest. We are going to run our schedule as normal. So we will have our normal adult Bible class, our life classes, our Sunday school, all of that will run as normal, just as a normal Sunday. It's just afterwards we're going to all go out, we're going to gorge ourselves on street tacos and play games and whatever else there may be out there. So any questions, you can feel free to see myself or you can see Brother Jerry Simmons. At this time, Brother Peter Sandin has a promotion for us.
Thank you, Pastor Roy. So I've been up here a few times already, and what it is we're looking for Sunday school teachers, and I've given you kind of my spiel about how important it is and how awesome it is and how much fun you might have, right? But the brass tacks is this. We need Sunday school teachers, and if we can't get any, we may have to reduce the offerings of classes that we have. Okay, not great news, but definitely not impossible. Just difficult, right, Pastor? Difficult. We can get through this. So I think there's something I've been missing, though, as I've been up here, right? I haven't really set some great expectations for you. What does this mean, right? What does it mean to be a Sunday school teacher or a Sunday school helper? So I want to go through that right now. So Sunday school teachers or helpers, first, if there's two different roles you could be. You could be the teacher. You could be the helper. You might just say, hey, I just want to be a helper. I want to be there to help out. We have two people in every classroom. That's one of the policies we have here at Calvary Gospel Church. And so if you want to be either one of those roles, you can sign up. Also, right now, we have it where it's every other week. So if you'd like to be a Sunday school teacher and you're like, oh, I can't be there every Sunday. Well, right now, it's about every other week. And sometimes you have to swap with somebody. And so there's a lot of flexibility there that we can work through. So that's one other note. Also, is you'll be trained as you go. Okay, this we're working with kids here. There's a curriculum that we have in place. There's other people that have been doing this for a long time. You can shadow them, watch how they're doing it, and really learn as you go for either one of those roles. So what is the time requirement for this? Well, depending on if you're a teacher or helper, either way, it's always best to prepare for something like this. You are working with kids and you're working with God's word. And the more time you spend preparing, the more that God can use you, whether that's with kids or adults or anybody, right? But it could be as little as 30. It could be as much as an hour and a half, depending on who you are and how much time and effort you want to spend in on a given week where you might be teaching or helping. Another expectation is that you'd arrive at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, which is pretty typical, maybe a little bit earlier if you got kids, but it still works. 9:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, it's about 45 minutes of class and then some cleanup after class. And I think there's a question I've talked to people before, and they're like, oh, I'm not a teacher. Like, I'm not super smart, and you know, I can't get up here and preach like Pastor Roy does every Sunday. And I don't want to belittle this because my wife and I are currently teaching in the 2 and 3 year old class, right? And actually, I used to hear Sister Lois talk about teaching. That's a hard class to teach, Sister Lois. It's really difficult, right? But our goal is to have kids hear about Jesus. It's really simple. And a lot of times the curriculum, I'm learning things in this 2 and 3 year old curriculum, right? Everything we're learning in this Sunday that Pastor Roy or Brother Seidel or myself or one of the other pastors is speaking, that's what's going on in there. It's just a simplified version. And so the kids hear, I can worship God when I'm scared. And that's it. That's the sentence. They got to walk out of the class maybe hearing that at some point, right? And so when Casey and I taught that lesson, they heard it 500 times in the course of 45 minutes, and maybe they remembered it, maybe they didn't. But I believe that God's word does not go forth void, and it will accomplish that what we do. So even with children, sorry, I'm starting to preach. Okay, so to sign up, if you're interested, I'm just saying all that to say, teaching, it's God's word. You're sharing with children. There's a lot of fun there. So don't feel like I have to be this doctor or preach every week like Brother Seidel or Brother Roy. If you want to sign up, find me, find Pastor Phil, find Brandon. We'll get you a ministry placement form. We have a little process. We have a background check if you're in the Sunday school department. It's another policy we've had for quite some time. And we'll get you started serving in the kingdom of God. If you're just looking for any way to serve, this is a way. There's lots of ways, but here's one I'm offering tonight. So think about it, pray about it. God bless. Have a great night. Oh, one last thing. Let's all stand. From announcements to service, let's pray that God has his way here tonight. Let's just, The week is crazy. The rest of the week is probably crazy. I don't know what's going on in your life, but let's just pray that God has his way in our hearts tonight, that the distractions are gone, that the fear and all the other stuff we bring in here with us that we've been carrying, that it's gone. Let's just pray. Thank you, God, for your will, for your spirit, God, for your power, God, that is in this place, that is in our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you would have your way. God, Lord, the things that are trying to come against us, focusing on you and putting you first in this service, God, we bind them and they're not here. God, we lift you up. God, we loose your peace and your joy. God, we loose your love, God, in this place. God, let us get to know you more today, God, in this worship and in hearing from you and in prayer, God. Let you be first and us be second tonight, in Jesus' name.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, I have tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord, and Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. And there is nothing that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Oh, and Holy Spirit, you are well. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be overcome by your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long to be overcome by your presence, exactly how I feel, and I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Lord, is there a way to show the passion in my heart? And can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend. Lord, this is my desire to pour my love on you. Water from my heart, pour my love on you. And if praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you. Every drop is gone, I'll pour my love like oil upon your feet, like wine for you. Water from my heart, pour my love on you. Praise is like perfume, I'll lavish mine on you. Till every drop is gone, I pour my love.
Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let's open our Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'm going to read verse 23. First Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask, O God, for the ministry of your spirit to have your way, O God, in all of our hearts and in our minds. Anoint me, O God, so I can deliver this message according to your will and according to your purpose, but more importantly, God, minister and anoint each of our hearts and minds so we can receive your word. You have something for each one of us. Help us, God, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. When I was standing here on the platform and I heard Peter give his presentation, Pastor Sandin, I realized that my lesson or my message tonight is going to echo what I spoke about last week. And I don't know why I didn't make that connection earlier, but I feel like this is what the Lord put on my heart. And again, Pastor Peter has been asking for help in Sunday school in God has put it on my heart. I feel that we're talking about being committed to God and to God's service. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The God of peace sanctify you wholly and pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. I knew a guy named Leo in junior high. He was kind of small, one of the smaller guys in our class. But he went out for sports. He went out for football. He went out for basketball. He didn't do so well in basketball, but he played football in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And he was played first string on defense all through, we called it junior high back then. It was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. That's what they called middle school, if you need translation. Back then it was junior high. Amen. So he played first string defense for 3 years in junior high, but then when he got to 10th grade in high school, his sophomore year, for some reason everyone else kept growing, and he didn't. So he played special teams only his sophomore year. And then in 11th and 12th grade, he was lucky to have about a whole 20 minutes for two seasons, on, you know, all together. So spent basically his junior and senior year in high school, he spent the whole season on the sideline, mostly. Standing on the sidelines. And then there was a guy that everyone called Sid. And he did all those things in junior high, but his sophomore year, he got interested in music and in drama. And he joined a cappella choir, which was a class, and was part of the choir. And, but he also tried out for a singing group called the Madrigal Singers, which was an extracurricular group, and you had to try out for it. And he was selected to be a part of this group, and they would sometimes sing at events, and they would sing for, you know, they did Christmas carols. They just were pretty active musically, and he was part of that. Tried out for the musical. Sophomore year, he got a small solo singing line. In the next 2 years, he got bigger and bigger roles. His senior year in high school, he was the lead in the musical. Their Madrigal group won a first at state, and he competed with a solo at regional competition. Maybe some of you already figured out both of those guys was me. I grew up in a sports home. My oldest brother ran track, and his relay team held the school record. He graduated in 1965, and I was in high school in the late 70s, and his track, his relay team still held the school record at that time. My next oldest brother had some limitations. He wasn't involved in sports at all. But then the brother after him, by the time he was in high school, he was voted the most valuable athlete his senior year. He was a starting quarterback on the football team. He was a starting pitcher on the baseball team and played every inning of the season. He was an all-state baseball player. He was a starting guard on the basketball team. He was just a star. And then the brother that came after him, he was involved in sports his whole upbringing, and he was a starter on the baseball team, and he was the starting quarterback on the football team, and I didn't have any choice but to be involved in sports. My dad was a coach in baseball, and my dad was a coach in football for a little while, and there was no question whether or not I was going to be involved in sports. But I wasn't quite the same level of talent as some of my older brothers, or maybe I just didn't have the same level of commitment. But by the time I got into high school, I was spending a lot of time watching other people compete. So what do you think I got the most out of when I was in high school? The music program and the musical and the drama, or standing on the sideline watching a football game? I was warm, at least. I always had one of those covers, you know, those big capes that they wore. And I didn't put in the extra time because I had so many things that I was involved in. You know, I didn't go to the voluntary summer workouts. I didn't spend the time in the weight room. But when it came to the music program, I could go there in my study hall. I would go there, hang out after school. I got involved with all this group of people who were my friends, and you know, it meant a lot to me. And the difference is the level of involvement and how much I was participating in one versus the other. I loved sports, but I just got more out. So what do you think now? When I look back on those days, when I was a kid growing up, I thought it was all about sports. I mean, I went to almost every football and basketball game of my older brothers. Went to baseball games all the time. I would actually had a little thing going with my older brother. When he was playing in the outfield, he had this whistle that he would do to encourage the team, and then I would whistle at him, and he would whistle back at me, and it was a big deal for me. But when I got there, I wasn't that guy. So now looking back, my fondest memories are not of football or baseball or basketball. I remember a lot of practices, a lot of football practices, but I don't remember much about, the only thing I remember about the games was the last game of the season. We played the Catholic school from our town, and we had already won the conference championship, so the game was just like an extra for us. But they wanted like everything to beat the public high school, so they were playing all out 100%. And I knew a number of players on the other team, and our guys were just playing good enough to win. And it rained that night. And the only thing, this is the highlight of my senior season. It rained that night, and after the game, me and my buddy Steve Wolfgram, we went out and slid around in the mud on the field. That was my highlight. What's my point? My point is that you get out of things what you put into things. Your level of commitment and participation are going to tell you how much you're going to get out of it. 1 Timothy 4:6, and this is a long passage. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. But, you have to make some choices. But refuse profane and old wives' tables, and exercise thyself rather unto ungodliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. It does profit, but a little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come, which is a greater benefit. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, Paul says. We're willing to do this. We're willing to go through this because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Paul's given instruction to Timothy on how to lead, how to pastor, how to be a good minister. These are the things that are necessary. It's okay to take care of your physical body, he says, but make sure it's more important that you make the commitment to the spiritual things. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, in athletics. No, it doesn't say that. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You maybe notice the title, Holiness. It's a little different spelling. Paul says, if you do these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting might appear to all. Paul's telling Timothy that if you want to fulfill God's purpose in your life, there's going to have to be a commitment on your half. You're going to have to commit some time. You're going to have to commit some energy. And not only that, you're going to have to commit your whole life. In Thessalonians, Paul says, the text that we read, he said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. Of course, that means his whole being. That's all we are, is body, soul, and spirit. That it be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. Paul said, this is how you do it. God is not just asking for a little bit of our time on Sunday and Wednesday. He's not just asking for a tithe or an offering, though he does ask for that. But that's not all. He wants us to give our whole being. That's the key to stewardship, is not whether or not you meet your 10% quota or you have your tithes and your offerings and you're consistent. That's important. That's necessary. But the element that is most important is that we recognize that what we're doing is we're managing God's money in the first place. That we already gave it all to him at the altar. So now what we're doing is managing it appropriately. Our whole spirit and soul and body. Paul told Timothy, this is what you should teach people to do. Focus on godliness. Focus on the spiritual. Because this is what we're laboring for. This is why we're suffering what we're suffering. This is why we're going through what we're going through, is so that the kingdom of God can be increased. So that this is what you must do, Timothy. Study the Bible. We've been hearing teaching about that. Preach the truth and teach doctrine. And then he says, use the gifts that God has given you. It's always been hard for me to understand people who have great intelligence or great gifts or great talents, and they're willing to commit them 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, and they're in their profession, in their livelihood. And that's a good thing. But then to have no time for ministry, to have no time for the kingdom of God. Where do you think those abilities came from? Even Rush Limbaugh knew that his gifts came from God. I mean, sorry, had to throw that in there. Use the gifts that God has given you. Oh, but I don't have any gifts. Yeah, you do. How do I know that? Because the scripture says that every man is given a measure of faith, and that to everyone gifts are given. Now, you may not have all the gifts of David Bernard. Very few people do. But whatever gifts we have, God has given them to us, and they belong to him. Focus on these things, Paul says. And then he says, meditate on them. What he's saying is, think of, I'm helping in our local school in McFarland. I volunteer some time on as a coach for the football team, and my head coach, he's teaching these kids and he's teaching me, but the point he brings up all the time, he says, it's not necessary for you to do all the big things, just get a little better every day. Do the next play, do better than you did the time before. Each time, get a little better. Grow in the Lord, Paul tells Timothy. If you're not growing in the Lord, we're not doing God's will. Grow in the Lord. He said, and it will show. People will see it. Your gifts will open doors. So how do we know if we're doing what God has called us to do? Well, let me ask you this. When the musicians start to play and people come down to the altar and people start lifting their hands, are you involved in the worship? Or are you a spectator? I mean, that's the very least that we can do is worship the God who saved us. That's the very least we can do is lift up the name that's above every other name. The very least. Have I read my Bible today? Have I read my Bible this week outside of church? That's how I know whether I'm doing what God has called me to do. Have I prayed? Am I involved in ministering to someone else in the kingdom of God? Matthew 12:30. Says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is Jesus speaking. Of course, he says it's the first and the greatest commandment in another place. Sometimes we don't really understand what that means. We want to quantify our commitment in terms of dollars. You know, I give this much, so I'm exempt from these other things. I spend this much time at church, and we set in our own minds a limit of how much time or accomplishments. You know, I've done this in the past, and it's time for me to relax, to take it easy. I'm involved in this many ministries. You may not be giving yourself completely to what you're doing, but you're involved in those ministries. We quantify it in our own mind as sufficient. I have a leadership position, so I know that I'm, well, are you giving your heart to God in that ministry? See, Jesus didn't mention any of those things that we used to quantify. What he mentioned was heart, soul, mind, and strength. Strength is the only physical aspect of that. The rest of it is what's going on. I can't measure how much of your heart, soul, or mind is surrendered. But I know someone who can. He knows what's going on in our heart. Only one of those things is tangible, is physical. I feel like I'm maybe hammering this too much, but this is what the Lord put on my heart. There's a need, not just in Sunday school, there's a need in our world. Our world is so confused right now. Those things that are least measurable to the outside world are the things that are most important to God. He knows the measure of our heart. He knows our mind. He knows our soul. And he knows our strength. Second Kings 2 and 1 tells the story of Elisha. Elisha was called out of the field. He was out plowing in his family's field when Elijah came by and threw his mantle on him. And Elisha turned around and left everything behind. So Elisha now is traveling with Elijah, more or less his servant, his assistant. And in 2 Kings 2:1, it says, just before the Lord took Elijah up to heaven in a windstorm, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. Elijah told Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. I'm 100% committed to this thing, Elijah. So they went down to Bethel. This is the part that interests me, and I don't even know what version I'm reading from, so I'm sorry in the back there. But some members of the prophetic guild in Bethel came out to Elisha and said, do you know that today the Lord is going to take your master from you? He answered and said, yes, I know, be quiet. If you're in ministry any amount of time, and it doesn't matter what level of ministry, whether it's you're an usher or a Sunday school teacher or a youth leader, there's always someone there to tell you what you could be doing different or better. Now, you might not want to answer this way. Yes, I know, be quiet. That might be a bad idea. Elijah said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He's being tested now. Did you know that you're going to be tested if you commit yourself to the work of God? As certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. And there were some more members of the prophetic guild. And Jericho approached Elisha and said, do you know the Lord today is going to take your mask? These are expert religionists. They can read the signs. They know what's going on. They've had discussion groups. Yes, I know. Be quiet, Elisha said again. He knows. But notice, these sons of the prophets, is what the King James Version says, they all know what's going on, right? They're experts. They've got education. They've got background. They've got talent. They've got ability. But only one person is traveling with Elijah, and that's Elisha. All the qualifications in the world aren't enough. If we're not committed, if we're not surrendered. Elisha said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he replied, as certainly as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they traveled on together. The 50 members of the prophetic guild went and stood opposite them at a distance while Elijah and Elisha stood by the Jordan. When I read this tonight, I thought about out by the basketball court here on our church grounds, there's the little grandstand, and I thought maybe they had a grandstand set up there for those 50 sons of the prophets so that they could watch, you know, and cheer or whatever they were doing while they were there. Maybe they brought lunch and so they could, you know, have lunch and watch because they knew what was happening. But they stood afar off. How many of us know what God is doing? We can point out the move of God. We can recognize that something's happening, but we're standing afar off, letting someone else. Elijah took his cloak, folded it up, and hit the water with it. The water divided, and two of them crossed over on dry ground. I know I'm talking to a lot of people that are already involved in ministry, who are already serving God, who are already committed. But I'm just reminding us that just having a position, just having the background, just having the education or the training or the qualifications isn't enough. We need to give our heart, soul, mind, and strength to the work of God. Elisha was sold out. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, what can I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha answered, may I receive a double portion of the prophetic spirit that energizes you? Elisha replied, that's a difficult request. If you see me taken from you, may it be so. But if you don't, it will not happen. As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a fiery chariot pulled by fiery horses appeared. They went between Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah went up to heaven in a windstorm. While Elisha was watching, he was crying out, my father, the chariot and the horsemen of Israel. Then he could no longer see him. He grabbed his clothes and tore them in two. He picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen off, and went back and stood on the shore of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen off Elijah, hit the water with it, and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he hit the water, divided, and Elisha crossed over. Praise God. There is someone I feel 100% in my spirit that is, God is just pulling on your heart. And we have a lot of excuses. I don't have the time. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. That's not my thing. But if you will pursue the voice of God, if you will pursue the will of God, He will give you the anointing that you need. He will place the mantle on you. You know, the funny thing is that these experts, these sons of the prophets, Elisha goes over after Elijah splits the waters. Elisha goes with him. He watches Elijah taken up in the chariots of fire, and he receives the mantle and the anointing, takes the mantle, splits the water. The sons of the prophets are still sitting in the grandstands, probably cheering at this point because this water thing is happening again, except now it's Elisha that comes walking over. And the first thing they say to him is, "Where's Elijah?" And Elisha says, "Well, God took him." And they said, "Well, maybe he's, you know, in the mountains. We should go look for him. Maybe your experience isn't real. Maybe you don't understand what actually happened. Maybe you don't know what took place over there. We were over here in the grandstands. We were watching. We have a pretty good idea. But even though you were there, you might have it wrong." And it got to the point where Elisha finally said, "Fine, go send someone to look for him." The gifts and calling of God are not dependent on how other people judge your abilities. The gifts and calling of God are not dependent on how other people judge your experience. The gifts and calling of God are dependent on your response to the presence of God in your life. Praise God. Part of this comes from a sermon that I read by T.F. Tenney about, and he called these prophets, and he had a number of stories where he talked about spectators. I've been a spectator at a lot of sporting events, but I don't ever want to be a spectator in the kingdom of God. Genesis 4:1, I won't read the whole story. You know the story of Cain and Abel. They both brought a sacrifice to God, and the Bible says that God had respect unto Abel's offering. They both brought a sacrifice. They both went through the religious motions, if I can put it in those terms. The difference is that Abel did what God was asking him to do. And Cain wanted God to accept his offering on his own terms. Cain thought that God should accept what he decided was good enough for God. And that's the difference. It may be that we sometimes do a good thing, but we're doing it on our terms. And God doesn't really have respect for that offering. Doesn't mean that he's gonna do anything bad to us. It just means that the blessing that we need, that we desire, that we hope for in ministry isn't going to be there unless we're doing it on his terms. Cain and Abel both made a sacrifice. They were both practicing their religion. But God had respect to Abel's offering. Let's stand. I want to go back to the initial text. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. King James Version says, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." W-H-O-L-L-Y. Excuse me. And then he says, "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless." Those two words, holy and whole, actually have two different meanings. Part of the root is the same, but they have different meanings altogether. The one, whole, spirit, soul, and body, means what you would think, that, you know, all of you. And that's what I've been talking about. But this word holy And that's the point I'm trying to get to tonight, which makes this message a little different than last Wednesday. And here's the point. I want to have holiness in this sense. This word sanctify you holy, it means to be complete in all respects. To be perfect. Now, we know perfect is not within our ability, but the word perfect in this context means complete to the point where everything possible that you could be, you have become that. At this point in time, at this point in your life, and this point in your ministry, you have reached a level of maturity where you're using everything that God has given. That's really what it's saying. That if you want to be complete in God, if you want to be complete in your ministry, if you want to be complete in who you are, then you have to give to God your whole spirit, soul, and body. I'm afraid that in our day, in our age, and especially in these last couple years, there are too many of us that are finding dissatisfaction or disappointment because it's not going the way we thought it would. We're not getting out of this what we expected. We're not receiving the return we thought we should. Maybe we're not as successful as we thought we ought to have been. But what's important to God is that not that we hold a position, not that we reach a certain level of giving. Those things are important, but that's not what God cares about the most. What He wants most of all is for us to be complete in His will, complete in His purpose. Because you'll never be happy as a Christian. You'll never be happy as a person. I'll never be happy as a person until I am given to God, body, soul, and spirit. And I have reached that place where I am complete in Him. Colossians 2 says that in Him, in Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it's a different word here, but it has the same basic meaning. And we are complete in Him. If you're frustrated with your walk with God, if you're frustrated with maybe even your ministry, whatever position you're in, whatever ministry you're involved in, then come back to this verse and find out, am I giving my whole body? Am I giving my whole spirit? Am I giving my whole soul to God? If we do that, then He will guide us and He will direct us to the point of completeness. Praise God. If you want to talk that over with God tonight, I want you to step out from where you are. Just come and talk to Jesus. I praise God. God is trying to convince someone here that He's got great things in store for you. And He's got a plan that is beyond what you can ask or think. Praise God. It's not so important what it is you do, is important it is how you do it. Surrender to God. He'll give you the what when you do the how the right way.
Song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Father, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, 'cause it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, the King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. And though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things are. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I
thank you, Brother John Seidel, for a wonderful message tonight. I've said this many times. You can hear it over and over and over again, but until you apply it, until you make that application, it serves very little to no use. His word was designed for us to make the application, to read it, apply it, and that means live it. Sometimes it's hard to do that. That's where God gives us each other. I'm so thankful for my brothers and my sisters. This is family. And we're all growing and learning together. So God bless you. Thank you, Brother Seidel. Remember, Sunday morning is All Nations Day, but Summer Fun Fest, because of a high probability of bad weather. Now, if it shows up and it's 72 and sunny all day, it's just 72 and sunny. Enjoy the day. But Summer Fun Fest will be the 14th, and we will have a good time of fellowship and a good time of enjoyment outside. God bless you all. Thank you so very much, Brother Dan, Sister Abby, Alicia, Jamin. God bless you all. Thank you again, Brother Seidel. We will see you. Remember, men's Bible study tomorrow evening. Brother Jerry Simmons, if you need any information on that. God bless.